drink. Look, we got some Bing drinks out there, so go get your Bing on. So soon we'll have Janet talking about Sketchflow. Janet, thanks so much for stepping up and speaking about Sketchflow. It's one of the most interesting topics, and we've got a lot of questions already lined up for you on Sketchflow. And for those of you online, if you have any questions that needs to be addressed, send them over to me, mithund@microsoft.com. Please add QA colon speaker name, in this case Janet, for before the question, so I know what the question is for. Without ado, Janet, the floor is yours. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Hi, how's everyone doing? Good? Is the lunch tasty? Excellent. Okay. Excellent. So my name is Janet Perez, and I'm a program manager on the Expression Blend team. And my area of focus on the product includes the UI, workspace configuration, interop with third-party apps, so the graphics importers like Adobe Photoshop and Illustrator imports, and graphics and all that fun stuff, text and anything that happens on the artboard. So today I'm going to talk about Sketchflow, and so let's go ahead and just to recap what Adam talked to you guys about earlier. We talked about what the main pillars for our Blend 3 release is. And so these are kind of just a short overview just to give you an idea of what I'll be presenting throughout within the context of Sketchflow. So this includes Silverlight 3 support, the ability to import visual design tasks, improving those design tasks. So this includes the importing assets from other apps, making it easier to work with data. So I think Adam showed you a little bit about the new design time sample data features that we have, as well as making interactivity accessible. And this includes behaviors. And so how many of you have used behaviors or love behaviors? It's always kind of a popular crowd pleaser. Excellent. Okay. And what I'll dive into is the part of Sketchflow, which is enabling prototyping. So how does Sketchflow fit into the Expression Blend mission? So basically, we really believe that great design has impact on the product success. And I'm sure a lot of you that have made, whether it be desktop apps or web apps, have experienced some of this. And it's really, right now in our current creative tools, it's really hard to kind of really go in and explore in the early stages of prototyping and just coming up with an idea, more of the conceptual level part of the process. And so, the tools that are out there today aren't really geared towards that area. So what we believe as part of the Expression mission is to allow you to create great UI, and we believe that that kind of starts at the early stages where you're prototyping and you're trying to come up with ideas and really more free-form thinking. So Sketchflow is exactly that. It's a set of features that will make prototyping faster, easier, and richer. So again, Sketchflow is really informal. It allows you to just quickly sketch out ideas. You can do this in a cost-effective manner. You can take advantage of all the features in Expression Blend currently, and then you can evolve those sketches into interactive prototypes. And I'll jump through an example to show you that in a bit. And you can also collect feedback and evolve that idea. Because we really think that these are sort of the pain points of prototyping currently, where the initial part of envisioning, then communicating your idea, and then moving on to the review part too, where you want to really collect feedback and incorporate back into your design. And so I think Scott earlier went through a good demo kind of all of this, and so I'll try to dive into it a bit more. So the demo that I'll be doing today is, I didn't know that animation was there, Deep Zoom Composer, the prototype. How many of you know what Deep Zoom Composer is? Okay, so it's kind of a lot of you. Excellent. So for those of you new to it, Deep Zoom Composer is a free power tool for composing and exporting Deep Zoom content for Silverlight. And you can get more info on our Expression Team blog about it if you want to download it, or we post a variety of different feature descriptions and so on and so forth. And so it is Deep Zoom. So basically, it's a part of the Silverlight feature set, and the functionality is used within the multi-scale image control. And so I'll show you an example of that in a bit. And what it basically does, it provides the ability to interactively view high-resolution images without affecting the performance of your app. And I think the most common example, you guys have all seen the Hard Rock memorabilia site. Yes? Some of you? OK. So I should have loaded it before. OK, so basically, this is a collection of high-resolution images that you can then go in and zoom in on the content. Let's find something interesting. What do you guys want to zoom into? The guitar. OK, I'll pick that guitar. So you can see how I can really just go in and see like a lot of the details of this. What I can also do is I can also sort. So this is a collection of deep zoom images that I can then programmatically in the back end sort with code. Excellent. So let's go ahead and show you Deep Zoom Composer. Comes up with a snazzy design. And so let's go ahead and create a new project. Let's call it demo. Yes. See, so I did practice this before. And so you can add some images. And so you see that there's the three parts of Deep Zoom Composer. We really wanted to make it an easy tool to kind of go in and be able to learn it right off the bat. So so here you have your list of images. And now you can go in and you can select all of your images, drop them onto your design surface, and arrange them in any way you want. And so really, you can create a custom composition of these images, or you can just, if you want a specific layout, or you can arrange them into a grid. I like the grid. Let's go ahead and do that. Excellent. OK. So once you've figured out, and you could tag these images as well so that you can then write some code to sort by them and so on and so forth. But for now, we're just going to go ahead and export this. And so you'll see in the export workspace that you have a preview here, and it's a live preview of the composition. You could also zoom in and out of it. So, and then you have two different exporting options. So first one is exporting to Deep Zoom Pix, which is basically a website that was created as sort of a technical preview. It's a service that we created to kind of show an example of, it's kind of like a Flickr-like service for deep zoom images, where you could go in, upload images directly to the site, or you can use Deep Zoom Composer to upload to your site as well. And so here's my collection that I uploaded before this in this interest of time. And you can see that I can zoom in and do all kinds of cool stuff. So excellent. So and then you also have the ability to do a custom export. And this is probably what people really like the best about the tool, that you can export images by themselves if you want to incorporate them to an existing site. Or you can export as Silverlight, Deep Zoom, or Sea Dragon, Ajax. And so and the cool thing about the Silverlight, Deep Zoom export is that you also have the option of exporting a project template, which you can then go and open in Visual Studio, or you can open that in Expression Blend and continue making edits. So we give you kind of a starter project for you to start playing around with the multi-scale control and writing code and all of that. So we're going to export a collection of images, and we'll go ahead and call it demo. This is going to be useful later, OK? I promise there's a purpose to showing you this. So OK, so we can preview that in the browser. And so there's my collection of images that I created. And the useful part is this generated images folder that is created for you. And we create the pyramid of images so that you can that is used in the multi-scale image control. And we also provide this XML document that gives you that provides the information of the layout of your composition. So keep that in mind, and we'll come back to this in a bit. Okay, so let's go back. So what's going to be the purpose of the demo? So we're going to build a prototype of a real-world scenario, and this is going to be Deep Zoom Composer. As we were planning the Deep Zoom Composer, we wanted to really get a feel for some ideas, and so we created a couple versions of it and walked through some of the interaction and added behaviors to it to see how we wanted this app to look and function. And what I'll do as I walk you through the demo is I'm going to demonstrate the Sketchflow feature set and bring all the features that Adam showed you kind of together into one cohesive project. So, and so all the Blend 3 features, not all of them, most of them, all the cool ones that I like within the context of Sketchflow. So, are you excited? Yes? Excellent. Okay. So, you've already seen that when you create a project, you can create either a Silverlight or a WPF Sketchflow application. So here you have it. We're going to go ahead and have work on a Silverlight 3 Sketchflow application. And I've kind of cheated a bit, and I went ahead and did a couple screens just in the interest of time to set up the initial content as I was, as I was thinking about what the different parts of Deep Zoom Composer would be. And so we have this splash screen here. This splash screen that is basically a part of here down, you'll see the Sketchflow map. And so as Scott mentioned earlier, this really allows you to set up the structure of your application and start putting up ideas. It's kind of, you can think of each screen as a whiteboard, where you can just sketch things, you can import pictures, you can use all of the blend tools to, whether the pencil tool or the path tool to start creating things, adding content and all that stuff. And so, so let's go ahead and start connecting the screens that I've created and walk you through what I have so far. So we have the splash screen, and we want to connect it initially to the import screen. That's the first thing that comes up when the user opens up the application. And an import, you see that here I have my button to add an image, and I have a little note here telling me what it's going to do, but we'll kind of add more later. So now we're going to connect import to compose, because that's kind of the next natural progression for the prototype. And then here you see that I have kind of my design surface as I did in the final product, and then a couple other panels that allow me to set properties, select my images, and so on. And then from there, I'm going to connect that to my export screen. And this as well has that tab control that that will allow me to, select from the two different export types. And so one thing that I want to do is, so when the user goes to sign in, if they want to import and if they want to upload their content to Deep Zoom Pix, then I'm going to kind of create another screen here, and that's going to be my Deep Zoom Pix site. And maybe I'll have like a little mock-up of what that experience is going to look like when they sign in and all of that. So I don't want to think about it too much right now. I just know that it's not really a part of Deep Zoom Composer. It's kind of, but it's still telling the story of what the app is going to do. So I'm going to change that, the visual tag, to make it a different color. And so you could do this for your links as well. You can change the visual tag for those. So we'll leave that there, and I'll go into my asset library. And in my sketch styles, I can see this whole, what Adam was running into, a lot of lack of space here. So let's look for the sketch note, and I'm just going to say placeholder for Deep Zoom Pix. Cool. Okay. So now that we've set up the initial kind of navigation of it, and we've set up a little bit of the content, although I did it before, let's go ahead and run this and see what happens. Excellent. Hopefully my computer cooperates more than Adam's today. So, okay. So now that we've, as you see, when you run the application, and this is, again, a Silverlight app, and you see that you have the Sketchflow player. And as Scott mentioned, this is really just a way for you to explore the content that you've created so far. And this is kind of at the early stages where you haven't really set up any interaction. You haven't linked any buttons to any other bits of UI. So it's really kind of free-form thoughts that you have sort of just, and that you want to be able to explore. And so they're sort of like the training wheels for exploration of your content. And let's kind of zoom out a bit here. So you can see that here's my import screen, my compose screen, my export, and then here's sort of the placeholder that I have for the DeepZoomPix site. So let's go back home. And so you'll notice that I also have this sketch style screen that I created. And this is kind of just to show you that as I created the content here, I specifically chose to use the sketch styles that we provide in Expression Blend because I really want to kind of stick to the same visual language throughout the flow of my prototype and not really dive into the details of what color background should I be using and what should the scheme of my application be or how should I theme it. Right now, I really don't want to think about that. I just want to, and I want people reviewing it to be able to also just focus on the flow and kind of the idea of it versus the nitty-gritty details. So, and you can see that these are all actual functional controls because when you created this application, it's actual Silverlight application, so they're all functional. These are real combo boxes, sliders that you can data bind, password boxes, that sort of thing. There's a list box here, tab item control. So it's really useful to have this as part of your prototyping. So, okay. And another thing that you'll notice in the player is that you also have the ability to see kind of the overall, the Sketchflow map here. And so you can navigate it this way or just be able to take a look at that, close that off. And then you also have another thing, which is, so another part that's really important about prototypes in the early stages is to really get feedback. So you can iterate on that and incorporate your feedback into your designs. And so here we have this panel that basically allows either your colleagues or your clients to be able to take a look at the at your prototype and start making comments, right? So I can say my boss is looking at this and says, we really need to at least get kind of an idea of a splash screen. Add splash. And then goes over to the import screen. Uh-oh. The import screen and says, I'd really like to see a list box here of images. Just to kind of illustrate that once the user clicks on the button, they'll have a list box of images there. And then here, I really want to see kind of what some images would look like here and how the user is going to interact with them. So are they going to be just kind of static images, or are they going to be, what's the feel of this area going to be like? So that's a big question mark. How are you going to show me an activity there? So I'm going to say maybe add a multi-scale image control there. And then we'll go to export. And I'm going to say, in this area, I really want to see a preview. I want to see a preview of what I'm going to export. Excellent. So another thing that you notice is that I don't have any way, the only way I'm navigating this is using the player, right? I haven't really set up anything in the UI. So I'm thinking that this navigation bar would be really useful to have and add navigation capabilities to it. So I'll just circle that, and you'll know what I mean. Okay. So now I can export my feedback. And this is Janet's boss. And we're going to go ahead and save that. Okay. Excellent. So again, so the player, really does help you explore, and it helps you gather feedback, and this is particularly useful because you can also, say your clients don't have Blend or Visual Studio or any of that installed in their machine. They can use this, they can view this on a Mac. You can put this up on a site, on a share somewhere, and so it's independent of what tools you use to create it. So that's really useful. So we'll go ahead and close that. And close this as well. Okay. So now I'm going to go to my feedback panel, and I'm going to add the bit of feedback that my boss provided, and I'm going to enable that. So now you can see that on the design surface, I can see all of the marks and all the text that he added to my screens. And you can, and you'll see here in the Sketchflow map that, can you see that little light bulb? So that means, look here. So it's important. So, okay. And oh, one other thing too is, so there's the kind of feedback that you get in the player, right? But sometimes you're trying to convey, you know, something that you need to add text to, or you need to tell a bigger story, or give a little bit more information than you can with just your design. So there's a feature called annotations that allows you to, so let me just delete this one and add it again. You can add, select a control, go to tools, and then create an annotation, and user will click and select images. Images to import. And so there's a timestamp there, and you know who made it, so that my boss can see, oh, okay, this is what this button's supposed to do. It's not entirely clear. So excellent. Okay, so now we have the feedback, and we can actually start taking that feedback and evolving our application. So let's start off initially with setting up a little bit of navigation using this this navigation bar that I have here. So first thing that I'll do is I'll jump over to my objects and timeline. Okay. It's a little bit blurry, right? I'm sorry. But, okay. So one of the useful things that that's pretty powerful about being able to have all the Sketchflow features within Blend is, again, you're taking advantage of all of the feature set. And so you can actually take, as you see that there's pieces of your UI that you're going to be reusing or that you want to kind of encapsulate and add more additional behavior, you can just go ahead and select that particular content, and you can make into a component screen. So I'm going to go ahead and make into component screen. And you'll see that what it does is it basically creates this additional screen. It takes all of the UI and pops it into, oh, where is it? There we go. OK. It pops it into, it creates a user control, basically, wraps it around there. And now you can go ahead and make changes to this and also decide whether or not you want to reuse them in other screens. So in this case, I really want my navigation bar to appear in my compose screen, so I can just drag and drop it in there. I also want it to appear, okay, let's go make sure that it appears in the right spot. There we go. Now I'm going to go back, and I'm also going to drag it into the export screen. So here it goes. And so there you have it. So now I can actually go into my component and say I want to change the background color of that rectangle. I can go into my property inspector, scroll up, and select maybe like a blue, happy blue. Is that a happy blue, sort of? Okay, happy blue. I don't know, I'm really bad with colors. Okay, that looks like a happy blue to me. It's going to make my users feel happy when they see this. So, and as you can see, so let's build that. Because it is a user control, you need to make sure to build it so that all of the changes propagate to all of the other screens that have used it. So building my app here. And so now you can see that the change that I made is propagated to all of the individual screens that are using that particular control. So as it's really, as you start, you know, taking these little bits and pieces, you really can kind of encapsulate them and make them reusable as your prototype grows. So it's a really neat feature. So that's components. So now let's go ahead and so again, now the component isn't actually doing anything. It's just visuals right now. So we want to add some interactivity to it. So let's go ahead and go back in here. And so when the user, so these are actually buttons. And so when the user clicks on them, I'd like for it to navigate to a specific screen. In this case, it knows that I want it to go to import. Crazy. Okay. And now, compose, navigate to, okay, this one. It wasn't smart enough for this one. So we want it to go to the compose screen. And for the export screen, I'd like, it knows too. I don't know how that happened. I think I created this control before, so it probably stored that somehow. Blend is really smart, see? We even know where you want to navigate to. So excellent. So now we've set that up. So let's go ahead and try and run that, see if it works. So again, at this point, we're really trying to now evolve from the training wheels and go into the aspects of to adding more interactivity and navigation to our app. So yay, it worked. Okay, it goes to compose. And then you can go to export and cycle on back. So that one's broken. Okay, let's go fix that. Import wasn't quite working, so let's go ahead and I forgot. Okay, now it remembers again. Excellent. Let's go ahead and save that. So now we've set up some initial navigation. And so let's see what actually is happening behind the scenes. So what's happening is that you're actually, we're adding a behavior to the individual buttons. And as you can see here, we've set it, the defaults that we've set is that on click, you're going to navigate to a target screen. And so you can make changes to this and modify this. These are behaviors, and it's part of the behaviors library that we include as part of Blend 3. So these are a set of behaviors that shipped with the app. So that's a really useful one. And so excellent. So now that we've done that, we can go ahead and start looking at the other bits of feedback that my boss provided. So for this one, he mentioned, okay, add a splash screen. So we'll go ahead and hide that and remove this note. So now what we'll do is we're going to import some visuals that our designer has created in Photoshop. So we'll go ahead and import a Photoshop file. Here we go. Have you seen this feature today yet? No? Maybe? Okay. So this is the import dialog that appears when you're importing a Photoshop file. And as you can see, all of the layers, there's the two sections. There's the layers section, and then there's the preview. And so you can basically, the preview updates to illustrate kind of what parts you're importing. And you can import all of the layers as individual parts. And so that, if you have text in Illustrator, you can use that text in Silverlight, data bind it, make it interactive. Or if it's, a vector layer, you can then take that and keep modifying it inside of Blend. So you can do that, or this is a splash screen, so I really just want an image. So instead of having to go to Photoshop and having to merge that, flatten it, and sending off the image, you just have to. You can go in here, you can merge the layers, and now I know that all merged layers will come in as a single image. So this is my splash. Can't spell splash. Whatever. Okay, you get it. So, and here we have it. So there's my splash screen. And so that looks pretty good. So okay, so I've taken care of that particular screen. And okay, so I just built that because I'm seeing this little warning here. So I made some changes to my navigation component, and I needed to build that so that it propagates. So now the other bit is that. Remember that feedback of wanting the list box? So what feature that Adam showed you do you think we could use to create a list box of images? Huh? Sample data. Sample data, yay. Well, you can't tell me. Sample data, yes. Excellent. OK. So as Adam showed you, you can actually create your own sample data, or you can use an existing data source. And so in this case, I'm going to just define a new one, and we'll call it deep zoom images. And by default, you'll see that a collection is created with two properties. And I want this property to be my images. And I want this property to be the image name. And so I can now go here, and I can define the type. So I want it to be an image. And I can either use the cool chairs that Adam used, or I can use my own images. So I'm going to point it to my own images. I'm going to use the same sample images that I used for my in Deep Zoom Composer. And then the name, I want it to be a string. And that sounds all fine. So great. So now what I can do is I can take this collection, and I can drag it. And as you'll see, the hover, as you hover on the artboard, it tells you, create a list box. Yes. Perfect. So now I have my list box, and I'll place it here. Perfect. And so the list box has a different, it was created with the Silverlight theme. And so I really want to use the sketch theme. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to select the sketch style, so now I'm using my sketch style. And I really don't want the name to appear here, I just want the image itself, and I want the image a little bit larger, so I can go in, I can edit the items template for this, jump over to my objects and timeline, and so I have my image there. I'm going to delete this text box, I don't really want that for now, and I want to make the images a little bit larger, so there you have it. Perfect. Okay, and now what I also want is, I want this area to be kind of the details view, so when the user clicks on one of the images, you can see it, you see a preview of it a little bit larger with any related info, in this case, the name of the image. So let's go ahead and create a grid. Uh-oh. So in that case, I had the list box selected, and that's why it was created there. Oh, and I'm inside the items template, so let's jump out of that. Okay. So let's go ahead and create a grid. And now I'll jump back to my data panel. And I'll see that there's two different modes in data. There's the list mode and then there's the details mode. So I'm going to jump into my details mode. And I'm going to basically drag the collection here. And it's basically going to set the data context to this grid so that now when I select an image in the list box, this image gets updated. And then when I select the name, I have this text box that gets updated. And okay, so let's go ahead and try that really quick to make sure everything's working fine. So again, we've used two existing features, being able to import assets from another app, in this case, Adobe Photoshop app. Here we go. So here's my splash screen that appears. That's screen one. Excellent. And we go here, and now I see that I have my list box here. And as I select, you can see that the details mode gets updated with the related, with the image there and the name. And so you can see that you can add more properties like dimensions, you know, path, anything else that you'd like. So, great. Does that all kind of make sense so far? I should stop and ask. Yeah? Okay, cool. Everyone's following. You're all a bunch of smart cookies. Okay. So now we'll go ahead and, so now we've added sample data. Now another thing that we received as feedback, if you remember, was, you know, being able to show a little bit about how the user is going to interact with the design surface in this particular, the compose screen. So one idea is to just go ahead and throw in a multi-scale image control there so that I can show that the user can pan in and out of the images, similar to the way they would do it in the browser. So we'll go ahead and hide that feedback for now. Jump in here and take a look for the multi-scale image control. Go ahead and draw that here. And we'll go ahead and see in our, we'll use our split view to set up a source for the multi-scale image control. So you have to think of it like a fancy just image control where you set it a source and it'd be an image file. But in this case, it's got to be the XML file that determines the layout of the images. And so let's go back to Deep Zoom Composer here. And so we're going to export this again and be able to grab that image folder. So here's the generated images, and here's the XML document that I need to be able to give it as a source. So I'm going to go ahead and copy that folder of images and go back into Blend, go to my project system, and I can open this in the Explorer. I'm going to go ahead and paste my images here. So there's my generated images. And then this is kind of a little trick to get this to work for now. I'm going to also drop those images in the debug folder so that you can see it at runtime. But if you were hosting this on a website, you'd really want to be storing these images on your site itself. So let's go ahead. So now that we've done that, we can see that in this generated folder, we have the DZZ output XML file. So we'll go ahead and jump in here into our XAML editor. And you can sort of see that, right? We'll give it a source. And we'll call it, so we know that it's in generated. And it was called D, Zoom Composer output.xml. Yay, excellent. And so there you see your images at design time. So let's go ahead and run this. I'm running over a bit. Where'd Marco go? He's after me. Okay, he can wait a bit. He won't mind. I'm almost done, I promise. Okay, so we have, so let's go ahead and go to our compose screen, which is where we had the multi-scale image, and there we have it. And so one thing you'll notice is that I can't really interact with it. So I'm clicking on it, I'm trying to zoom in on it with my mouse wheel, and it's not working. And that's because by default, the multi-scale image control doesn't actually have any of that mouse wheel functionality attached to it. So now, what Blend 3 feature could we add to add interactivity to this? What can we use? No, Adam can't say it. Anybody else? Behaviors, yes, exactly. So let's go see how behaviors can make this a little bit more interactive. And so you can do one of two things. You can create your new behavior, go to new item, select this, and that'll give you a template where you can go off and start coding. Or you can do what I did and ask the developer to make the code, to write the code for me. So sorry, do it again? Okay. All right. How do you do it? Very carefully. No, I'm just kidding. So I won't jump into that because I'm already running over. But
new item behavior.
Yes, is what you do. New behavior. So cool. So let's go into. So I have some behaviors that I had. My office mate actually created these. He's the behaviors PM, so he's like, oh, this would be a great demo. And so he created these behaviors for me. And so basically, there's a series of behaviors that I'm going to go ahead and drag and drop into my project. So kind of minimize this a bit, drag these. And you can see that these are C# files. So you can open these up in Visual Studio as well and edit these. Or you can open them up in Blend if you need to make any tweaks as well, because we have a code editor inside of Blend as well. And so you can see that this is a lot of code. And so, and this is probably, and it's pretty, you're probably, if you're going to have any other prototypes or any, you know, full-fledged working Silverlight applications, you might want to reuse this. So this is really useful to just be able to encapsulate this in a behavior and be able to give this to, you know, put this up online to share with people or any of your coworkers and so on. So if I go ahead and build this, so I'm going to build because I just added the behaviors, and I want them to show up in my asset library, so I can now just drag and drop them onto my controls. So here you have behaviors, and now you see that they all show up here, the home behavior, zoom in, zoom out, initializer. So what I'm basically going to do is I'm going to just drag and drop the initializer. I usually add a couple buttons so you can zoom in and out when you click on it, but in the interest of time. So now you can see that I can interact with it with that bit of code that, or a lot of bit of code that my developer wrote for me. So excellent. So now it's kind of interactive, and you can see that, you know, you can get an idea of how. Now you probably want to write another behavior for selecting an image and getting the visuals to appear on that and so on. So this kind of just, we're evolving, we're getting there. But so basically, you've been able to see, let's go ahead and go back here. You've been able to see kind of a wide variety of these. Is it Shift F5, is that? Okay, great. I was able to show you kind of the different stages, envisioning, communicating, and reviewing, and the different aspects of Sketchflow that allow you to kind of show off your prototype and be able to gather feedback and, you know, add interactivity to it. And so this is kind of a rundown of the different features. I think earlier Scott showed you exporting to Word. You can also import PowerPoint files, but I won't jump into that. So I'm running out of time. And The various Blend 3 features that I also used was importing Photoshop files, design time data, behaviors, and the new asset library. So that's basically it. I really hope that you guys download the preview. You can go to the website, the Expression website, at Microsoft.com/expression, and download the 60-day trial and try it out, see what you think, start writing behaviors, share online. And so you can also visit my blog where I've occasionally blog about Expression Silverlight related stuff. And we also have a team blog, so you can also check that out. So,
fantastic. Thanks so much, Janet. Really appreciate it.